One of the most hotly debated Rolling Stones albums turned 50 last week. Exile on Main Street was recorded in 1972. And to this day, fans and band members still argue over its relevance. Here's Mick Jagger talking about it.
So I've worked on a double album. I never realised it. I don't know, after a while we realised we've got enough, you know, to do it. And so we decided to do it double album. But it's a lot of our work when it comes to mixing it, for us anyway, because we get very mad about, very perfectionist about it. It's sort of, yeah, it's pretty fast, very danceable. You know, we made one side very up-tempo, you know, it was about, like, really, really fast, you know, and you'd, very dancey. And then another side's a bit more relaxed, and the other two are just a mixture. I mean, I don't know, musical directions, it's pretty straight sort of I don't know, people might say, you know, something else. I don't know, it's pretty straight Stones to me. Good mixture of different kinds of styles that we like to do. That's quite nice. I mean, glad it's over, though, you know, glad it's done. Want to get on with the next one.
Mick Jagger there in 1972. While we couldn't get the Stones here to celebrate, we went local and found Tim Rogers, best known as the frontman of UMI, who is about to go on tour to celebrate Exile on Main Street. Welcome back to Breakfast, Tim.
Hello, Patricia. I hope I'm some kind of light relief for you this morning.
Oh, you are my lightest relief of all. Thank you. And let's make a decision here never to talk about the election and we'll be fine, right? That's pretty much all we've been talking about.
If that's fine with you, it's absolutely fine.
It's good.
Fine,
we're going to be happy. Now, Mick Jagger famously said Exile wasn't his favourite album because there aren't any real hits on it. What do you think?
Well, he said it in a rather desultory manner as well, didn't he?
He did. He didn't say it the way I said it.
Mixed different accents through time. I've seen him work a room and it's quite remarkable that he will. And he's been accused of being not sycophantic but supercilious in that he'll talk in a very lordly manner and then talk like he's from, you know, been scraping your shoe. I love all that. And just hearing that through the headphones then never fails to make me laugh, but I do love this record. I think it's been the soundtrack to some disgusting behaviour for myself over 40 years. Even as a very young man when I heard it, it set up a mood.
Why? Why do you love Exile on Main Street?
It feels grubby. Grubby in that naughty kind of way, in the way that John Lee Hooker records did or Big Mama Thornton does as well. I think, though, it doesn't have maybe the hit singles that many of their other records does. I think it's the purest evocation, Patricia, of their love of rhythm and blues and greasy rhythm and blues, which is the, I think, the perfect complement to dancing, to making love, or bending one's senses.
Why do you think this album was and continues to be so divisive then?
It's very muddy sounding. Now, for those of you who aren't, I'm using musical terminology here, the recording process means that it doesn't jump out of the speakers like a modern pop single. Mm. It sounds like it's coated with glycerin or molasses, which I think is great because I love old recordings that sound as if there's some history there and it was recorded in the south of France and over a protracted period. And under rather inclement circumstances. And so it does sound muddy. It doesn't sound fresh and new. And that's the reason why Mick doesn't seem to love it so much and some fans don't either. But it's a double album. There's 18 tracks on it. I think each is of sparkling quality despite its muddiness. So it has sparkle and it has mud.
Right, which is, yeah, hard thing to pull off. Is it true that they were left to their own devices to record this album at Keith Richards' villa during a hot southern French summer?
You're making it sound as if that's a bad thing, Patricia.
Well,
a hot French summer.
It did sound like I was, you know, yeah, a bit of sort of class rivalry there came out, didn't it? I'm like, villas? Well, French summer? Why am I here in the Melbourne winter? That's my own jealousy.
Is it winter? Are we in Melbourne?
I don't know where we are,
but they were left to their own devices. And the reason it's called Exile on Main Street because they became tax exiles at that stage. Speaking of class divides, they became fabulously wealthy, but they were being taxed at 98% or whatever it is. And so like all good grubby rock and rollers did, they decamped to the south of France and then were thrown out of pretty much the south of France because, well, people will be people and musicians tend to go looking for inspiration from the dark corners So they, yes, they were left to their own devices. There was a mobile recording studio set up in the basement of Keith's house, and infamously, he and his wife at the time, Anita Pallenberg, had to cater for dozens and dozens of people each day. Not all of them musicians, Patricia.
Do you think bands still record albums like that, hold up in a mansion somewhere, you know, letting life and luxury lead their creativity? Do music companies still pay for that kind of thing?
Well, I can tell you that one of my bands, UMI, recorded in a small house in Albert Park last year, an album. We did it remotely with no record company interference, and we did it in the manner that we think that recording artists should do it, where you're just looking for divine inspiration everywhere. So it wasn't quite the south of France. It was actually the south of Melbourne.
But Albert Park's nice.
Albert Park's gorgeous. And we did it on the street where Vegemite was apparently invented. So
perfect.
South of France or Vegemite Street, whichever you take.
It sounds inspiring. So you're on tour with Adelita and Tex Perkins from August celebrating this album. Will it just be songs from Exile, or will you be bringing some other hits?
No, we will bring other hits.
And good.
I don't know, there's that. We know that there are people who only go to these kind of shows, and what we like to remind people is if these are the only shows that you go to, which I totally understand, that out there in this city and every other city around Australia and around the world, there are bands performing their own songs, and for a significantly lesser price, you can go and discover something out there that can become your new Rolling Stones or your new Beatles or whatever. So, I mean, definitely encourage people to come to this show. It's gorgeous fun. You will dance. And if you find yourself dancing not as well as someone like I, then shame on you. Not shame on you, Patricia,
no,
but
not me personally, but just shame generally. Just shame.
Shame, just shame.
So let's just on discovering new music. Is there enough of that going on at the moment post pandemic? Are we discovering enough?
It's definitely out there. I think there's more exciting music in 2022, if that's the year we're living in, than there was in 1972. I do think that. I just think it's up to folks to go and discover it. You can either go looking for it on radio, streaming services are there, but I think going to a record store now that we're allowed to again, or to the library, or more importantly, asking friends what they're listening to. I asked my 21-year-old daughter who lives in New York what she's listening to, and I've got 7 great records to listen to today, none of whom I'd met discover. Yeah. It is all out there. I just think you've got to go looking for it more than ever.
I've been going out and looking for it a lot more too, and yeah, it's like my brain is just like sonically so excited at the moment. Just new. I want new. I don't want necessarily nostalgia all the time.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Look, it is possible, I guess, to, in this age you can have both nostalgia and...
Look, I dabble in nostalgia.
Dabble in nostalgia, dabble in the new. That's what we always encourage. But my God, dress well when you're doing it.
Yeah, just make sure you do. All right, we're going to play a rare track with Keith Richards as the main vocal, Happy. Why do you like this one?
It makes me happy. I think that Keith's underrated as a singer. He's not a glorious singer. Very few of us are. But my Lord, it's with passion. But he talks about his relationship with his father in it, and his relationship with his father was fraught. And for all of Keith's artifice or whatever it is, that I just love that he talks about the filial relationship with his dad in this. And look, I think at this stage of this morning, and while it's a little bit frosty out there, if you're in a commute, move your limbs when you're listening to this song.
Move your limbs. Beautifully said. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Patricia.
And this is Happy by the Rolling Stones. That's Happy by the Rolling Stones. And we were speaking to Tim Rogers, who will be touring with Adelita, and Tex Perkins for the Rolling Stones Review, celebrating Exile on Main Street. Gigs include the Birdsville Big Red Bash and Broken Hill's Monday Monday Bash.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.